Good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. It's Sunday morning, and we are so delighted to be with you. And today, we have the opportunity to look at Psalm 53. Now, Psalm 53 is quite unusual because it's one of the few psalms that appears twice in the collection. There are actually, you know, portions of other psalms repeated, but this is the only place where an entire psalm appears in Book 1 of the Psalms and in Book 2 of the Psalms. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 are basically the same with a slight variation in verse 5. And so we have to ask, why do we have a psalm that comes to us twice? Well, partly because this is such an important reminder to us that God wants us to not forget the importance of this psalm. And I think its larger setting and that within the collection, it's important that this psalm reappear because of its focus on the way of the fool. Now, you remember in the, we talked already about Psalm 1, giving us the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. But this is a theme which goes throughout the Old Testament. So in the Proverbs, it's the way of the wise and the foolish. And in the Pentateuch, the law, it's the way of life and the way of death. And so this actually psalm touches on the great theme of Proverbs about the nature of the fool. So we're going to be looking today about what happens when a fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Yes, and you know, it's interesting that, you know, how foolish of humanity to think that we can be autonomous from God. And yet, this is the way of humanity that Paul makes reference to in Romans 3 and quotes this psalm. So this is the basic way of humanity. I'm going to read Psalm 53 before Tim reflects on it. So here we are, Psalm 53. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together they have all become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have those who work evil no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? There they are, in great terror, where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When God restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Wow, that sounds like a very contemporary statement, doesn't it? In recent years, we have seen the rise of what is known as the, quote, new atheism. However, the new atheism is not much different from the old atheism. The atheists go to great lengths to dispel and dismiss a God whom they caricature, and which even all true believers would reject. Atheism, in the end, is fundamentally not an intellectual problem, but as Julie pointed out, a moral assertion of our own autonomy in a very lonely universe. The psalm wants us to understand that atheism robs us of all hope. Atheists, just don't forget, they live in a shockingly tiny universe. It puts humanity at the center and puts us as the final measure of all things. In the worldview of the atheist, there is no creation. There is no final judgment. There is no final setting things right. There is no redemption. There is no new creation. We need to remember that the central problem of our age is not too much stress, but too little hope. The psalm ushers us into a world of immense hope. God is prepared to part Red Seas that we face. God is prepared to bring his people into the promised land. God is prepared to rescue us from our own demise through the cross. God prepared to judge the world and set things right. In Christ, we have a final hope. This is the great confidence of the Christian. We actually wake up in the morning and say, praise God, we're not left to our own resources. Praise God, we're not merely the products of time and chance or the random emergence of particular, you know, DNA strands. We do not arise out of some primordial soup because of an errant ray of light. We were created in the image of God. We are fashioned for his purposes. We've been called to be stewards of his great creation. We stand in his light as the redeemed children of God, caught up into his great purposes. We're prepared to serve the poor, rescue the lost, pray for the sick, play a central role in the redemption of the world. God will not do it without us. He's chosen to include us in his great redemptive work in the world. This is the great hope of the Christian, which this psalm points us to. We were all, you know, once biblically defined as fools, every one of us. And yet God realized his greater purposes, and he now has brought us to be people of hope.
Yes, you know, I love how when Paul uses this psalm and Psalm 14, you know, and in Romans 3 as his basis for the universal need of a Savior, he goes on, of course, in the book of Romans to point us to that great hope, to that salvation, to that redemption that this psalm actually catapults us into. It's a wonderful psalm just to remind us, really, of the truth of the gospel. We're actually going to sing this to the tune of St. Thomas, which is a tune that's used for those of you who remember the days of singing, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord, in church. I grew up singing, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord. It's a hymn that actually claims we are people of the kingdom. We love the kingdom, not the foolishness of unbelief of self-rule, this world and self-rule and autonomy. No, we love the kingdom because that's where true life is found. And so we're going to use that tune of loving the kingdom of God as we sing this Psalm 53. The fool says in his heart, there surely is no God. They're all corrupt, their ways are vile, there's no one who does good. From heaven God looks down upon the sons of men to see if any understand, if any seek for him. But all have turned away, together all have sinned. There's no one who does good, not one, they're all corrupt within. Oh, will they never learn, the evildoers all, who eat my people as their bread, and on God do not call. For there they are in dread, when nothing's there to dread. God scattered bones of those against you, put them to shame instead. Would that Israel be saved? From Zion God restores his people, Jacob, Israel, be glad forevermore.
Amen.
We are the people of God.
We could add a great phrase, out of a fallen world, God does call forth his own, and they who once were vile and fools will worship God alone.
Amen.
Amen.
We are part of that kingdom. Go forth in the kingdom of God to extend the love and reign of God.
Amen.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.